Your comments make the show better. Send us your thoughts live on our Facebook channel to be the star of today's show. Can't catch us live? Hit us up on our other social media channels to have your say. For now, welcome to the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, good morning, world. Canadian sports fans around the globe, welcome to the RP Show on a Thursday, June the 18th. Wake up! How you doing, Dukes?
I'm good.
Good.
I'm good.
Boy, do we have a lot to talk about today. A very big show today. I know that we're going to be delving, of course, into football because it is the front and center topic here in the Great White North right now in mid-June. But we have a lot of great hockey guests today, and the story of why they're on is stuff of legend. But Mike Sillinger will be with us, 18-year NHL veteran, record holder, by the way, of a dubious distinction, but a record holder nonetheless. Rich Sutter, 13-year NHL veteran, good friend of ours, will be joining us. His visit's always brought to you by Original 16. And the keeper of the Stanley Cup, one Phil Pritchard, the white-gloved Phil Pritchard, will be joining us from the Hockey Hall of Fame in downtown Toronto. I can't wait for that. It's all part of the show. But we have had breaking news today, and just hang on, I'll get to it in a minute. As a precursor to the Quick Six show topics. Because when I laid my head down at last night, my mind's racing as always.
Yes.
What the hell are we going to talk about tomorrow? Doesn't seem to be a whole lot going on. Then, of course, go into meditation. Wake up this morning. Randy Ambrosi speaks to the government of Ontario, which I didn't even know was going to happen, and basically said, we're screwed. That's my paraphrase of what Randy Ambrosi said before the government of Ontario Standing Committee on Finance this morning. I got the article here. It's the top thing running at rodpeterson.com. It's also running at tsn.ca and probably every other sports website across the country. He said the complexity of the situation, the commissioner of the CFL said to the Ontario government this morning, has made it very difficult to come up with a plan, it would sound to me, to take to the government to play. And it's led to our poll question, which we just tweeted moments ago for Capital Auto Mall, Universal Collision Center. It is, should the CFL scrap the 2020 season? It's very simple, yes or no. And I got to say yes. And I'll be honest, Matt Sicaris of TSN Vancouver, TSN 1040 Radio yesterday, just laid it all out very well for us why they should do that. Interesting poll results, as I see on Facebook since we posted it. 53% saying yes, they should scrap it. 47% saying no. But I think we need to be pragmatic. And it's literally a case of cut your losses. Sort our way through the rubble. Burn it down. Come back stronger. That's very close to where we're at right now. So I'm sorry, that's today's news.
Well, yeah, and it's huge. And if, you know, it's kind of what's happening through university sports, too, you know, with the University of Alberta, you know, deciding to shut down the men's and women's hockey teams, the basketball programs. And I think there's a couple other in there for the whole season, regardless of whether Canada West decides to play in the second half. And it's all financial. We need to not spend all of this money and go further into the hole and create a bigger problem moving forward. Let's cut our losses for one year. Make sure we're taken care of financially and come back stronger a year from now. That might not be a bad option for the CFL.
No, and it needs to be examined. We're at that time. And I see Paul Figler's writing from the Dub Network. .ca, WHL website, says, I'm here for the hockey, and we're getting to that, trust me. But this is what is the breaking news this morning. This is where the CFL is. It is getting to be poop or get off the pot time. It's getting to be fish or cut bait time. That's where we're at now. Nicole, one of our viewers, Tardif, writes in. She says, I need my CFL. Please don't scrap it. Jack in Vulcan, Alberta writes in, scrap it. Start fresh by planning now for the all-new CFL 3.0. They're all over the place, and they're all over the place with their opinion on what the CFL should do. But if you are pounding your fist on the table and saying, we can't scrap it now because I'm going to miss it too much, it's a very short-sighted, almost selfish move. Because the other thing, my phone's been blowing up over the last 24 to 48 hours. I wrote down from one coach, longtime coach, big name. He goes, we are devastated and we are discouraged. And that's at the cuts that are coming towards the football staff, the coaches and the support staff. the cuts, and the more wage dockings. So this all needs to be looked at, right? I go in here today, and a huge name, a Hall of Famer, as a matter of fact, had left a message here for me, wants me to call him as soon as we're off the air. I have no idea what he wants. You know who the guy is because you saw the message. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I still don't understand why I don't understand why they're calling me, other than what the one coach said that texted me last night is, you are our voice. They feel the same way about Justin Dunk, and they're afraid to speak out because they think they'll have their necks lopped off, their heads cut. This is where we're at, folks.
It is. Unfortunately, it is where we're at. And that's a scary place to be. You know, the coaches don't know where to go, or the personnel don't know where to go or who to turn to for support. And, I mean, they know they're getting it here, but there's so much uncertainty right now. If you just come out and cancel the season and say, we're gonna spend this time working towards building this back up the right way, get everybody on the same page, at least you're bringing a message and some certainty that, you know, you're working towards something. You've got a goal now, as opposed to, are we doing a season? Are we not doing a season? Are we going to lose money? Are we not? Are we going to cut jobs? Are we going to bring them back? Are we going to lower the salary cap? You know, all this uncertainty creates anxiety and it creates problems, and you got to find a way to ease that.
Yeah, so it sounds more like a topic for Football Friday, but this is the news this morning. And I appreciate everybody chiming in. A couple comments from Ottawa coming in. Colin says, it's clear now about saving the league. It's clearly now about saving the league rather than saving the season. The latter seems to have left the barn, as you guys like to say in Saskatchewan. It's hilarious, by the way. I had a city guy say to me last week, that cow's left the barn. I'm like, what the hell's that supposed to mean? It's the horse has left the barn.
Cows are in the
field. Duh! Yeah, you could catch the cow.
Exactly.
This show is becoming more and more like an episode of The Ranch every day. Are you ready, Jordan? Let's get to the quick six show topics. Thank you. The WHL's return to play. Happy news out of the WHL. And it came after we were off the air yesterday, the Western Hockey League issuing a statement that they plan to play a full 68-game schedule starting October the 2nd. Hey, listen, I was ready to pop champagne, ready. That's the league that I spent so much time in. Excited to see Connor Bedard with the Pats, the exceptional player, which I still am. Mm-hmm. And all the other Pats fans are that way. Warrior fans, too, with what's going on over there in the Rempel Temple. Sent some text messages to people, literally, congratulations on the news, guys. And they're all like, just hang on. I'm like, what is this, fake news? Well, it was a good news release by the WHL, but they're just saying, these are the guys that want to play more than anybody. This is what their paycheck depends on, but they're saying it's hoops to go through here, just like every other league. We're still subject, they're saying, to the government guidelines, the health and safety guidelines. But do you think the world will be a lot different, not just by October 2nd, but by the time the WHL is ready to open up training camps?
Oh, of course.
And how much different do you think it'll be?
It'll be massively different. We don't know if we're going back to school in September. You know, we're still looking at universities doing online classes. Some schools are opening up full. Every province is different. And even within provinces, you've got cities that have different situations going on, travel. There's a whole bunch, a whole lot of things to consider. You'll even look at the NBA side of it with the coaches when you've reached a certain age. That can happen in the Western Hockey League. You get coaches, you get personnel. Guys like John Paddock, right? And I know he's not on the bench, but there's a lot of things to consider here, but it was definitely a good news day yesterday. Take it for what it is, good news, but it doesn't mean that it's guaranteed going to happen, going to drop the puck. If everything goes according to plan, they're going to play.
Yeah, and I guess that was, I reverted back to a fan because I'm like, texting the guy, hang on. So now I see how the people here get so excited, right?
Yep.
Because I became that fan again. And that's not to say that we can't be, but it's not a for certain yet. And point two is Junior A to follow? I was going to say the SJ, but we got viewers across every province in this country, and they all have Junior A teams. So let's just say Junior A, which some league presidents of Junior A have said they're going to follow the lead of Major Junior. This all sounds positive to me.
Yep.
I'm jumping a little out of order here because of this morning's breaking news. Point three was CFL coaches and support staff are devastated by the news this week from Justin Dunk that the proposed cuts in the next CFL 3.0 has to do cuts with to them. Not the executives, not the business people, not the marketing people. And I think the one thing the coaches are saying is literally, we've taken our lumps financially. What about the guys on the other side of the building? I don't think there's anything wrong with them saying that. As I said very passionately on Tuesday, why are you attacking the product? The more you cut coaches and scouts and support staff, that's why they're called support staff. The product's going to suffer.
See, that's exactly it. And the coach's cap and the restriction on personnel, I'm not necessarily against it. I think it was brought in for the right reasons, to create competitive balance. So you don't have one team over here spending 10 times more money when another team doesn't have the resources to spend that money. And teams having 40 coaches when teams don't have the resources to have that many coaches. It creates competitive balance. But when it comes down to cost saving, don't take it away from the on-field product. You've created the competitive balance. Have the cost saving come from your biggest salaries and come from other areas. That would be the place to do it.
Sounds very elementary, doesn't it?
It sounds easy.
Oh, but the guys with the big salaries don't want to take pay cuts? What? That's the way it looks.
Yeah.
Can we put up the comment from Trent in Norway, guys, if you don't mind? I mean, Trent watches every day. He says, Norway here. Time for the CFL telethon. Time for the Rider Nation to come forward and for the rest of the CFL to follow suit. Let us know which account the checks should go to. Time for governments to get behind this as well. Stay safe, everyone. I'd like to say that we weren't talking about those 2 months ago, but we were, right? And and the world has changed from 1987 and 1997 when they were having telethons for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Sure, they still talk about that all across the country. Oh, you guys were taking wheat for tickets back in the 80s. Oh, you were doing this back in the 90s. It's a different world now, and people are worried about their own wallets, their own bank accounts, their own families. It's going to take more than a telethon to save the CFL, particularly amongst pandemic times.
Yep.
When you see people saying, I mean, we're trying to raise $6 million for the food bank through Great Western, one of our great partners. We're over halfway to the goal. But I get the sense that if Canadians need a choice between saving humanity and feeding them or saving the football league that hasn't been able to manage itself because of greed and mismanagement, they're going to pick humanity. That's the sense that I've gotten. That's how the world's changed at this time.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. It's really tough. And the Save the CFL telethon or the campaign idea, I think, loses a ton of steam if there's no season. If there's no season, it's so you can cut your costs. You're not playing. You can get some government money, and you can spend that time trying to figure out how you're going to rebuild bigger and better. If you're looking at a CFL telethon, it's so that you can scrap and piece together a season and pay your bills right now when the revenue might not be coming in. But you can't cancel the season to save money and then ask us to pay that money as well. That's going to be tough to get the fans to buy in. But it's such a, man, week to week, I'm optimistic one week. I'm in the gutter the next when it comes to the future of the league.
Well, honestly, I see Brady in Saskatoon writing in ahead with regards to my point four. He says, well, the Major League Baseball story looks positive. The point is Major League Baseball's latest proposal calls for 60 games beginning July 20th. And I read an article this morning that Commissioner Rob Manfred jumped on a plane from New York, flew all the way to Arizona, and met with the Players Association chief, Tony Clark, at the Meridian Spa in Scottsdale.
Huh.
Boy, these guys got a rough life.
I know.
And they tried to hammer out this agreement. So I'm with you on baseball, as you say, on everything else. One day it's this, the next day it's that. It's positive, it's not. And I'll go back to, I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
But the reason that we said months ago that we could still stay on the air every day and entertain you is because it's a coffee session today. Tim Hortons, we're talking about people still having coffee. They'll always be having coffee.
Yeah.
Talking about what's at hand. And that's what we're doing here.
I know.
From Jeff in Calgary. Stamps fan says it's only speculation to say the league is full of greed and mismanagement. Okay. If that's how you feel. How did they get to this point where they're at, Jeff? Please, you tell me. Wow. Poll question last I saw. This is the Twitter results. Should the CFL scrap its 2020 season? 56% say no. 44% say yes. And I almost wonder if they know all the what's all on the table here.
I don't know. I don't know if they do. And even with baseball, you know, what is it, 70 games they presented, and I saw one MLB analyst, and basically I'll sum it up this way. He said it's so promising now, the proposal on the table, and they've never been closer to playing. But it really sounded like, I don't know if it matters anymore because they've done so much damage to the game. That it's so promising, but does it even matter anymore because they've done so much damage? And you have to consider all of that when we're going through this with the CFL. You know, if you're going to wait and go through all the dirt to get to a decision, to hold out hope for the season or to, you know, wait to make your plan, how much damage are you going to cause between now and then, between now and making the decision, as opposed to just deciding that we're not going to do it now?
Are you talking about baseball or CFL?
Right, CFL now.
Oh, CFL.
Right?
I thought we...
Comparing it to baseball,
yeah.
Right?
It's, right, okay.
It's the same kind of thing. How much damage are you going to cause between now and then?
Just want to say hi to a few guys that have checked in. Les Peach says, morning, gentlemen. Good morning, Les. Brett Thompson, good morning from Saskatoon. Good morning, Brett. Thanks for joining us. I still think we need to get a little bell on the door so when people come in and join us. Although it would be ringing all the time. Sprinkling in text messages here during the rollout for a Flooring Superstore. They are open for business. Flooring Superstore. Trent and the Dickens family, we love them like the Dickens. It's Ryan Dickens' birthday today, actually.
Oh.
Trent's brother.
Cool.
There was a time people said him and I were twins, Ryan Dickens at Flooring Center, Flooring Superstore.
You guys
he used
twins?
To be a bartender at Earl's. I'll show you a picture of him. Well, my wife said that. Metal Shingle Guy writes in on the Prairie Mobile text line. He says, I say let it go and rebrand CFL 3.0 four down feeder system for the big boys. Sorry to say. The ego of the purists that say we will not go down with the ship, we will not go down without giving up our three downs and our large field and our rouge. Get out your wallets, boys. Get out your checkbook to save it yourself then. Zach in Calgary writes in, Prairie Mobile text line 306-840-8777. He says, good morning, RP from Calgary. How are you guys this morning? I think we're good.
Great.
Zach says, let's hope Major League Baseball comes back really soon. You notice people just go back and forth based on what they read, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's how they form their opinions?
Oh, yeah.
By the media?
Yeah.
Which reminds me of something that I'll get to when our points are over here. Point five, we have secured a national anthem singer for Friday night's CFL Sim broadcast on this very Facebook channel, Montreal at Saskatchewan, 7 p.m. Mountain. The great Tegan Littlechief will be singing the Canadian national anthem. Hey, there's the horns, the breaking news alarm.
That's the greatest. She's the best.
Yes, she is.
She is the gold standard for national anthem singers.
I believe so.
Yeah.
Every time she sings the Canadian national anthem, the home team wins. Whether that be the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, the Regina Pats, the Estevan Bruins, Tegan Littlechief will be performing via video the national anthem before our Sim broadcast, Brady.
That's so cool.
Point six was, should the CFL season be scrapped? And that is what led to our poll question. I was kind of fiddling whether that was going to be our question or not. Then we find out that the commissioner met with the Ontario government today and said this is too complex to come up with a plan right now. That's what the Canadian press is saying. If it's that complex, and let's be honest, breaking news this morning that I discovered, Dr. Anthony Fauci saying, hey, pro football, if you're going to play, you need to be in a bubble. Well, guess what? From what I can see, the NFL, publicly at least, has done no planning for bubbles whatsoever. They're talking about training camps opening July 22nd. They're talking about playing in stadiums with full crowds. Nothing's changed. Was it last week that I said this is where it starts?
Mm-hmm. This is where it starts. It's kind of, you know, the gateway drug, so to speak, it starts here, and then it slowly starts to get worse, or more things start to happen. Sounds all great when you're in your off season and you can say the season's happening and everything is good to go. But yeah,
guys, do we have Aaron John ready to go? That's AJ Jakubek. I just want to say two last things before we go. One, I talked about how teams, are, when we do come back, teams are going to have to woo you, the fan, back into the building. Yesterday, I got a call from Evolution Fitness, my gym, and they said, Rod, we've been open since Monday. Noticed you haven't swiped in. I said, no, you haven't. I bought my home gym equipment. I've got my five TSN channels. I'm good. And they said, would you please come back? You were here for the call. I just got off the air. They waited for me to get off the air. They incentivized me, which is cool, but it's good work. So I was down there this morning working out at Evolution Fitness, and I missed it, and it was great. But the point is the teams are going to have to get on the phone, email, whatever, phone would be best,
yeah,
and call their fans and say, we're open for business. Will you come back? And you might have to give them something. In the case of the Pats, how about an 8x10 signed by Connor Bedard? The exceptional player. I initially thought, how about a meet and greet with Connor Bedard for everybody? Then I thought, wait a minute, let's not expose him to coronavirus. Let's just send out whatever it is.
Yeah.
Teams, you're going to have to give it that little personal touch to your fans. And I'm talking pro teams too, not just junior. And I'm also back working in the dub, as you know.
Yes.
On an affiliate basis.
That's exciting.
It's incredibly exciting. Incredibly exciting to be back working in the Western Hockey League. So, for us, it's a good day. Not as good as AJ Jakubek, though, because he's going back to work after one hell of a health scare. It's big news in Ottawa. The voice of the Red Blacks will join us next. This has been the rollout for Flooring Superstore. It's the RP Show, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions is Saskatchewan's only full-service supply chain company. Strategic sourcing, PO creation, and order expediting, VMI and vending solutions, and free delivery are just a few of the supply chain services we provide. If your company needs it, Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions can get it for you. Price, quality, service, Rockstar Supply Chain Solution is helping Saskatchewan companies buy better.
IKS Live. IKS Live. Western Canada's premier production services company. LED sign rentals. Video production. Event management. Look no further than IKS Live. Visit our website, IKS Live. Always the best seat in the house. IKS Live.
To the 16 guys who never back down, and to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
The show rolls on, everybody. Just ahead of AJ Jakubek, the voice of the Red Blacks, a sports update for the Tap Brewhouse and Liquor Store in Red Bull, Canada. Former Washington Redskins defensive lineman Dexter Manley announced in a video he's recovered from COVID-19. Manley posted the message on social media Wednesday. He's 61, tested positive for the coronavirus in May. He urges everybody to take precautions. He's the career Redskins sack leader, but guys, he spent two seasons in the CFL with the Ottawa Rough Riders and one with the Shreveport Pirates, and I'll never forget doing sidelines on the Rider Radio here, and he was playing for Ottawa, and he had his helmet on backwards, and they were playing Soul Man over the speakers at Taylor Field, and he was moonwalking, and he was up on the field, and the coaches were yelling at him, Dexter, get on the field. He's like, oh, turn his helmet on. Million stories like that. Western Hockey League plans to be back to regular season action on Friday, October 2nd. In a media release Wednesday, the league announced a return-to-play protocol that indicated they want to start the regular season a week later than normal and still have 68 games. And Jerry Sturm, an offensive lineman who had a 15-year career in pro football, was named by the Denver Broncos last year as one of the top 100 players in franchise history. And once thwarted an attempt by gamblers to fix an NFL game, has died at the age of 83. Why am I bringing this up? Well, his death was announced by the South restaurant, the Colorado restaurant that Sturm owned. They said, words can't describe how much our hearts ache over the loss of Jerry. Sounds like a great guy.
Yeah.
Started his career with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders in 1958.
Whoa.
Passed away at the age of 83. This sports update for the Tap Brewhouse and Liquor Store. We are open. 50% capacity. Stop in today at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua. Call 761-2777 for their hours. And for Red Bull Canada, Red Bull gives you wings. And the guys just told me we lost AJ. We had him and then we lost him.
Okay, let me play my thing.
What is it?
It's only going to take a second.
You better have your audio up. That's the doorbell. Who's just joined us for coffee?
There you go.
Oh, the guy's writing in here. From Paul Figler, Rod, working in the dub. What a time to be alive. Well, it did go on for a period of 17 years between 1993 and 2010.
Nothing new.
That's not really new. Okay, now we're ready to roll. Out to the nation's capital we go, and it is nice to see this guy's smiling face, Aaron John, AJ Jakubik. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, good. You can call me Aaron John, AJ. You can call me whatever. It's just good to be here.
Oh, is it ever? Just happy to be alive, literally. You announced that you're going back to work, by the way. Pancreatitis, I believe, was your battle. Were you surprised by the reaction from everybody, AJ?
Yeah, acute pancreatitis. It's something I had no idea what it was on December 1st. And, December 2nd, I didn't know either. Probably by the end of that week, I did. So, it's been overwhelming for sure, because it's come from everywhere. It's come from, family and friends, which you would expect, and people in Ottawa, but just the reaction from people, across the country and, media people and just strangers and whatever. It's been, silver lining, right? You don't want to go through something like that again, but I wouldn't change anything because, I feel pretty good right now. And, in the end, you look at the positive out of it, and the positive is I'm still here, got a second chance, and I'm going to make the most of it.
Good for you, man. Well, obviously, it's changed your life forever, and I don't mean physically. It'll mean your outlook, too. And you know, Darren, but our viewers might not, that AJ was the voice of the Edmonton Oil Kings for a good long time, too. He's an Edmonton guy. So you've jumped. And also, voice of the Ottawa 67s, pre and post for the Senators. He's called Senators games. Red Blacks and the Ottawa Fury. Maybe you were working too hard, AJ. Did anybody tell you that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, in the end, it's gallstones that created it. I don't even know how gallstones are created in the first place. I guess I probably should have asked that. My gallbladder's coming out in the fall, though, so that won't be an issue anymore. So... yeah, I mean, I love doing what I do. It doesn't feel like a job. It's it's a privilege to be able to call football and hockey and basketball and soccer and all the other sports I've been able to call, and excited to be able to call sports again whenever that's going to happen. And hopefully that's going to be sooner rather than later.
Well, no doubt. And I knew that this day was coming, that you would make your return. I mean, I was keeping in touch with you throughout, and you were giving me updates. I wasn't overly concerned. Did you ever think that you were on the way out? Did you?
Yeah, I mean, I always felt that, I always felt that, number one, health-wise, that I was going to beat it. And number two, from a work standpoint, that, obviously COVID kind of changed a lot of things. It's you know, businesses have gone down and people have lost their jobs, and you know more seriously, people have lost their lives out of it. But you know, from my perspective, I always kind of felt that, and I was, that was one of the great things about working at TSN 1200. I was always made to feel not to worry about, you know, work or anything like that, that I would have a spot when I was healthy and just focus on my health. And so I did that, and yeah, just excited. It was great to be on the radio yesterday, and I love doing a show. I do. It's one of the things I'm an opinionated guy, so I've got opinions on a lot of different things, but you know, my true passion is still play by play. And you know, I want to see CFL football this year, for example. And I'm frustrated because I'll be honest, you know, you look at leagues like the CEBL, which, you know, I think has a real promising future. And you guys have a team in Saskatchewan there that, you know, hosted the championship last year and was very successful. And you know, you look at the Canadian Premier League, which is in its second year. So second year leagues, and I get it, there's 12 players in one and, you know, 23 players on a roster in the other. It's not 46 players, but they don't have any TV money either. So I'm kind of tired of the whining, tired of the crap here, and figure if health is the reason why this can't go, if it's like 1919 and the Spanish flu, Stanley Cup and all that, then you throw up your hands and you say, absolutely. I mean, health is most important, but if these other leagues are playing and you see teams playing in Spain and Italy right now, where, you know, they had, you know, mass death in terms of COVID-19, and then they're playing again. And I get it, they're bigger leagues, more revenue, and you know, that sort of thing. But if you see in this country, the CEBL and the Canadian Premier League playing and the CFL isn't, when they've got a TV deal, that's not going to fly for me. So it's time for them to get serious and to, you know, look to, I don't care if it's a 4-game season. Like no one said the biggest event in the world is the World Cup. No one said, oh, the World Cup, you know, you put an asterisk next to it because you play 3 games in round robin and then you get to the playoff. I don't care if that's all you can do is a 4-game season. Have a 4-game season, have playoffs and a great cup, because entertainment is about entertaining the people that haven't had any entertainment in this country for a long time because of COVID. And so it's time for people to step up on both sides and make this happen. Get creative, because I'll tell you what, if the CEBL and the CPL, two leagues that, you know, I'm going to be a part of broadcasting as well at some point, if they're playing and the CFL isn't, that ain't going to cut it for me.
Rod's rant hijacked by AJ, and I love it. I couldn't agree more. The rant for Bronco Plumbing and Heating, your factory authorized Bryant Furnace dealer. And you're right, but why would it be that the CFL isn't playing? AJ, is it squabbling over money, not being able to get an agreement? Why would it be, do you think?
I don't know. It feels a little Major League Baseball-esque to me in terms of squabbling right now. And again, maybe they're going to play. Maybe it's just posturing right now. I just, the people I talk to on both sides, players and you know, management, there just doesn't seem to be a lot of optimism, like really any optimism, to be honest. And I'm just kind of like, okay, I get it. This is tough. Everyone's going to lose. Players aren't going to make as much money. Owners are going to lose money. I mean, the Edmonton Eskimos, I'm from Edmonton. The Edmonton Eskimos have an 11, and I get every team doesn't have that. They have, what, an $11 million rainy day fund? What are they waiting for? Like, what are we waiting for? Like, are we waiting for the next pandemic to use that $11 million or what? So, to me, there are solutions here. It's not going to be ideal for anyone. But I just think, it would be very disappointing if these other leagues are playing and they're not, if they can't come up with a solution. And, the time's running out here. Like, we're in June, and you know, like, just in terms of logistics, you got to get going. You can't, and they're talking about, you know, Anthony Fauci talking about, if you know, get these baseball playoffs done end of October. Well, all right, and I get different countries and stuff, right? I mean, obviously the COVID rates are a lot worse in the U.S. than they are here, but still, I mean, you'd like to be able to get playing again. And again, doesn't have to be. No one's going to talk about the integrity of a season with what we're going through right now. People just want to see football. People want to see entertainment. And people need to suck it up. That's part of the thing with me, right? I mean, I'm in the entertainment business. You're in the entertainment business. Sometimes you're going to have to do things that you don't really want to do, but you're doing it because that's the business we're in. And, you know, your goal is to entertain people. And that's, you know, on both sides of the ledger here, that people need to understand this. This has got to be about Canada. And look, if they don't get any government money, then, you know, maybe it is a non-starter. But if you get government money and these other leagues are playing and you're not, look, what are you getting that government money for? So I get it, to stabilize it for next year and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, there are solutions here. They just need some creative thinking and a little bit of a kick in the butt.
Wow. Well, I think you just gave it to him, and thank you, AJ, for doing it. Your chubby cheeks are gone, but your opinions are not. And I got to say this, TSN 1200, I know they have an awesome culture. I know they love you, and we're waiting for you to come back. So I'm glad that you're full steam ahead, man. Keep in touch. And here's hoping you are calling games in 2020.
Yeah, absolutely. Cheers, Roddy. And, you know, I'll appreciate your support throughout this. And, yeah, just great to be back. And now that I'm back... Again, I don't want to be talking about non-sport 5 days a week. I want to be talking about games and broadcasting games. So hopefully we get our wish, right? We all want it, right? No one's sitting at home saying, geez, I hope we the only games we get the rest of the year are more replays, more classic games on television. We all want real games. So make it happen.
You bet. Thanks, AJ.
Thanks, Roddy.
AJ Jakubik joining us, the voice of the Ottawa Red Blacks. And yeah, that's right. He said, suck it up. He didn't specifically say to whom, but I think there's a lot of people that could suck it up and be a little tougher right now. Sorry, Don McNeil, if you don't like it. That's what we do here. Frankly, Darren, let's bring you in on that. We allow people to come on and say their piece, and we also don't allow them to be attacked. And I'm not saying Don is attacking AJ, but he's allowed to say his piece. This is a guy whose livelihood, in a way, depends on. Well, it does depend on sports. And I'm kind of getting tired of the finger pointing, too. I just saw this statement here from Randy Ambrosi where he said, we are all in this together. And while that is all true, where's the evidence of it from society right now? It's been nothing but throwing crap at each other and finger pointing, calling each other down and out. And it's disappointing.
Very disappointing. You know, that is it. We are all in this together, but for a large majority of us, we're only really interested in ourselves, right?
At the end of the day.
At the end of the day, we're only looking out for number one, and that's the disappointing part. We're trying to come together, right? We want everybody to come together and work together towards a common goal, but, I mean, we'd have to go back in the comments, but we got people in the comments saying, oh, I'm not wearing a mask in 30-degree heat. You're only thinking about you, not about everybody getting back to enjoying sports. If you don't want to wear a mask, watch it on TV. There are a bunch of people who just want to watch sports so badly, they'd wear a hazmat suit to the game and sip beer through a straw, right? That's how bad they want sports back or just appreciate the love of the game. But it's like, I only am going to know the game if I can do it on my terms. That doesn't work. That's not going to work. That's not going to get you back to sports or back to life. It's just not.
This is great. By the way, Jack in Vulcan, Alberta, writes that, and he says, AJ, health comes first. Nobody's saying it doesn't, but I mean, damn. There are zero cases of coronavirus in this city right now. Zero. And everybody's walking around like they're about to die. Didn't the mayor make a comment yesterday that he would certainly, like, and the premier too, like this to be a bubble city for the CFL? And it sounds like that's what they're doing, but the cost is going to be astronomical.
It would be awesome. And we live in a wonderful country that if you're nervous and scared, you can stay home. And we're cool. If you're not, you can go. You know, all the daredevils think that jumping out of an airplane is the safest thing. It's so safe. You know, the chances of dying are very small. So do it. Doesn't mean I have to, right? And just because you don't want to go to a game and you don't think it's safe, if enough people do and the experts are okay with it, This is a great place to do it.
Jack continues, says, pointing fingers comes when people feel anxious, cornered. We lash out. Jack, have you been reading my diary? You know, I'm getting, people are lashing out at me, but they're not calling me. I'm just getting messages from, oh, so-and-so is trying to take you down. What? They got my number. Call me. What a bunch of pussies. When we come back, Mike Sillinger, and I'm interested to chat with him, of course, 18 years in the NHL. His son, though, it's not about Mike anymore.
No.
Sorry, silly. It's about his son, Cole.
Yeah.
Who's the biggest rising star in the Western Hockey League with the Medicine Hat Tigers. And I got to think that they got down on their hands and knees last night and just said, thank you, hockey baby Jesus.
Got to play.
The WHL is coming back. Mike Sillinger joins us next. Plus, the commissioner of the CFL issued a statement this morning. We'll read as much of that as we can. It's the RP Show, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
At Suds, we make your car shine. It starts with our state-of-the-art wash system. Our NeoGlide wash material is safe and gentle on vehicles and buffs your finish to a brilliant shine. Plus, we hand-dry and inspect every vehicle for a top-quality result. I'm Kirby.
And I'm Natalie. Whether you're getting an exterior wash that takes 10 minutes or treating yourself to an interior cleaning, the result's going to be the same. Your vehicle's going to look great.
Suds Full Service Car Wash.
We'll make your car shine.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. As mentioned, it was a big news day in the CFL. It is a big news day. Commissioner Randy Ambrosi talking to the Ontario government this morning, saying the complexity of this COVID situation, said it's very difficult to come up with a plan. Then he issued a statement. I'm not going to read it right now, but you can go to rodpeterson.com and read it all for yourself right now. Our next guest is Mike Sillinger. You know him, you love him. 1,049 NHL games, a former Regina Pat. He's a Regina kid drafted by the Detroit Red Wings, 11th overall. That's the first round in the 89 NHL draft. And, of course, his son, Cole, is a star with the Medicine Hat Tigers. Good morning, Silly. How are you doing?
Good morning. How you doing, Roddy?
Good. Are you in Regina or chilling out in Scottsdale, Arizona? What's up with you these days?
I've been in Regina for 3 months. We were in Phoenix and obviously got cut short with this COVID-19. We drove back like March 14th. Owen was getting ready to play in the second round with the NCAA, and they were kind of on spring break, so the kids got sent home. And then Lucas got shut down. He got sent home, and then the Western Hockey League got sent home. So we you know, had no choice and been here with the boys and, you know, making the most of it.
You mentioned Is it Owen? Is he at Michigan Tech? Where's he playing?
No. Owen's Bemidji State.
Bemidji State. So okay.
Yeah. That's where Lucas is going next year too. So we'll have both those boys will head out. Right now they're on schedule to start on time. They got to be at school starts August 24th. So they're definitely going to go there and take schooling online and who knows unless we get some more news here, but they're going to head back.
Well, like I said before the break, Papa is no longer the story. It's all about the three boys, and I'm sure you're more than okay with that. But what was your first reaction last night when you saw, or yesterday when the WHL announced they plan to play? What did you think first?
Well, we were very excited. We were kind of hoping so. Obviously, with the Quebec League, they announced that they're going to go on with the schedule and have a 68-game season, and so we kind of thought that the entire CHL would kind of follow the Quebec League. We're obviously waiting with having five American teams. I know why it's difficult for the Western League to kind of figure out that schedule, but these kids got to play, and these junior franchises, they got to survive as well. There's a story up in Saskatoon. They're saying today if they have a season, they got to have a season with fans. So, a lot of these small communities, they need the hockey to start as well.
Yeah, I saw in the WHL's news release, they said their survival is vitally tied to fans in the stands. So, and then beyond that, to the NCAA. Take me inside that world, if you don't mind. I'm kind of following college football a little more. Does hockey relate to what they're doing?
Yeah, so I think what they're going to do is anyone going back to school for sport is going to go back on schedule. Whether they actually use the school facilities or not, right on August 24th, who knows? I think they'll all start school online. They'll be using their training facilities, so all the teams will be able to use the facilities. And as far as starting, I think again they're trying to come up with the proper schedule. I know golf starting. We have good friends here, the kids, Adam Kidd, and he's talking to his parents, and they're going back middle of August, and golf's starting on schedule, but what they're doing is they're taking off from American Thanksgiving till after Christmas. So they're kind of predicting the second wave, and so they're going to give the kids the month off. So who knows if hockey's going to do the same. I know the NCAA or the WCHA has their schedule out for next year already. And they're supposed to start October 10th.
Darren, I want you to ask Silly your question that you asked me in the break about.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. Listen to this, Silly. It's a good one.
Well, yeah, if the Western Hockey League doesn't go, and given Cole's kind of his status and the NHL draft prospects and stuff like that, would he be eligible? Would he go to the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League
or
the Alberta Junior Hockey League or the BC League to play as opposed to sitting out a year?
I assume the Western Hockey League is going to have rules and regulations for that. Cole could still play midget hockey. He could still play here for the Pack Canadians. So I know there's a handful of kids that can go back and play midget hockey. And, whether it's good for them or not, I guess they'd still be playing hockey. But I would assume that the Western Hockey League is going to make rules and regulations based on where they can play. They have to figure it out. It was great news yesterday knowing that they're going to start up and have a shorter training camp. But, who knows what the next couple months brings.
Yeah. Well, like we say, let's just go with where it is and hope for the best. And I guess brace for the worst, though, which is a good, like you say, the guys want to play. They want to develop, right, and show themselves to the scouts. Now,
Absolutely.
Silly, you worked for a long time for the Oilers. I don't know if you are, obviously you're still talking to those guys and the scouts and so forth. What are they saying about the draft? Like Rich Sutter's coming up here later today. We're going to chat. He's working with the Blue Jackets. It's just a disaster from what we hear. What are you hearing about the NHL draft this year?
Well, what I'm hearing is they're going to wait. They don't want to have the draft in June because they want to wait till the Stanley Cup playoffs are over. And, I don't know how that's going to work, but because again, the draft lottery and the rankings and everything. So, even just talking with Ross Mahoney, they're going to really try to present a Stanley Cup this year. So I hope it happens. And as far as the draft, I feel sorry for all these boys, obviously they're not going to be able to attend a draft. It's going to be through video and maybe they will, who knows, but yeah, everything's up in the air, and really feel for these boys, and it's the draft year, and I got one next year who has a chance to be an NHL draft, and it's kind of up in the air for him right now. And I said, you really can't control it. You just got to train right now and be ready for the hockey season. So
I got one more for you because of the NHL, the wars that you went through. We lost him for a sec. You put it there. You go.
No, sorry, guys.
You're back. You're probably thinking, thank God I'm retired and not having to deal with this as a player, because you're too busy looking after your boys right now. But we're all sitting here going, and I saw ESPN saying it too. There's no squabbles that we can see between NHL owners and players. You see what's going on with the other leagues. Is it going as smoothly, do you think, as it appears for the NHL? Everybody just wants the same thing and are working together to get it?
I hope so. I was a part of three different labor disputes with NHL and NHLPA. They were big time fights, and so it's good to see them on the same page. So I hope they're on the same page. I want to see, I know we all want to see the Stanley Cup playoffs here happen. And I know the players probably don't want to go back to work, but that's just the way it is. They got the last month of the season off, and summer's going to be cut short, but let's hope they find a way to get back at her. I do think that the NHLPA and the NHL, owners are all working together.
Awesome.
It's good to see.
Absolutely. That's, as I said, that's hockey. Maybe we shouldn't be surprised by that. Celia, anything else before we let you go?
No, it's all good. Appreciate you guys having me on. Always good chatting some hockey. And
yeah, for sure.
Looking forward to hopefully watching the boys play here. Hopefully all these leagues start up and we can get our kids back in the ball diamonds and soccer fields. And it's kind of gloom and doom out there. So we need sports back.
Well, then I have two last questions for you. One, Who are you taking money off of at the Wascana today?
Today I was at golf, and we have lots of good guys out there. And yesterday I'm actually playing lots of golf with the boys. That's one thing. They're keeping them busy. They all have memberships, and they train hard and keep them on the golf course. So it's a good way to spend time with them. The golf game's getting better, and I've enjoyed that the last month. And again, it's just really good family time. And they're all going to be gone soon, hopefully. So I got to enjoy their time with them right now.
Well, who have you taken the most money off this year? Not from your boys. Jason White?
No, Derek Myers. No. We play. Though Mizey, I see him out there quite a bit. Mizey's always, he's an ADMer. He likes getting out there, and hopefully I'll get in his pocket next week.
Perfect.
I got a good partner. Ricky Lettingham's my partner. And
Ricky Regina.
Ricky Regina, yeah, old Ricky Regina. He's a pretty good golfer, and there's a lot of good players out there. So I can't really pick one guy who I've seemed to get day in and day out. But don't worry, I get my fair share of lookings too.
I've known. Sure. But you partnered up with the best golfer at the club. You're no dummy. Producer Clark says, by the way, has a question for you. What's your favorite jersey of any team that you played for? I assume you're talking about design, Clark. Yeah, what's the best looking jersey you play? Please say the Regina Pats.
I'm going to say NHL jersey, but the Pats have a great jersey. Absolutely. Pats have a fantastic jersey. My NHL jersey was probably my old Vancouver Canucks. I had the old Canucks, the black and yellow.
Right. With the V?
Canucks, yeah. 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 Not with the V, no. It's just the old Canucks logo, and it's the black, yellow, and...
Oh yeah! Oh, the circle.
Awesome. Great, great. So I have a jersey from every team I played on. I have one of those ones, and it was a game worn one. So it's hung here downstairs in the basement.
Those are pretty nice.
Yeah.
And I guess when you say talking hockey, who are your Stanley Cup picks from the East and the West? Who's in the Stanley Cup final? We're not going to hold
Flip
you
a
to
coin.
It. Yeah. Who? Yeah.
Flip a coin. I don't know who's going to be good after a 3-month layoff. I would just pick the teams that were rolling right now. It's going to be tough. That's one thing as far as the Stanley Cup goes. I think it's anyone's game now. It's, they're whoever, whatever team gets on a roll, and, it's you're going to probably see some injuries, players. It's going to be a tough grind. So let's hope it all works out and we can get hockey back and get it back on TV and get some excitement.
All right, Mike, always good chatting with you. Appreciate the time. Be well, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
All right, Mike Sillinger joining us. NHL great. Pat's great, of course. His number hangs on the rafters. Shares it with Dirkach, by the way. One retired number for two guys. Figure that one out.
So if he hangs up, you know, Sillinger's all on the wall, you can see the last name and the number, or do you hang the front with the logo of every team he played for?
But that's a tough one. But, of course, I would think he's putting his name and number on it. Yeah, there was a thing on Twitter the other day that said, who has the worst logo history, the worst jersey history in the NHL? I think it was World Hockey Report. Guy does a good job on Twitter. And I put Vancouver Canucks, begins and end with the Vancouver Canucks. And then I, of course, got lambasted by Vancouver people. But who's got the worst jersey history?
I like Vancouver.
Some said the Islanders.
Yeah, the Islanders have had a history of not so great jerseys. That's a great question.
Isn't it?
It's a great
question. Here's one. I was surfing emojis the other day. There's a new update on your iPhone, which you don't have.
Right.
But there's a bunch of new emojis. And there's a whale one. And I'm like, what a complete waste of an emoji with the Hartford Whalers.
Yeah.
Not in existence anymore.
Big time.
Can you imagine just Whalers fans hitting that emoji like crazy?
Man.
There is a hurricane one. I mean,
yeah.
Nerdy things to talk about. He didn't give us a pick. He said he said the teams that are rolling right now.
Yeah, the teams that were rolling heading in. So I'm assuming he's, you know, looking at teams like Boston and that were rolling and playing pretty well in Vegas.
Well, for those that act like the CFL simulation that we're doing or the one with the SJHL that we did is so radical, the NHL's been doing it for a long time.
Oh, big time.
With EA Sports. And if you remember, maybe you don't, the NHL computer simulation through EA Sports, which is the number one video game producer in the world, had Boston beating Vegas in a six-game Stanley Cup final.
Yeah.
Very believable, really.
Yep.
Larry Dye writes in and he says, I loved Hartford's logo. I did too. Nelson Hackowich, our director of sim events, writes that he says, the Ducks and Kings have had some interesting ones. Jacques Dupuis is watching in Ottawa and he says, the Coyotes. The Coyotes, I saw announced that in the playoffs, they're going to wear their Azteca jersey, the one with the computer-generated dog. I hated that jersey. And I love the Coyotes stuff. I love the logo.
Got the collar, too,
It's just gross. Yeah.
That's the old Keith Tkachuk.
Yes. Made of, and Roenick.
Yeah, and Roenick. And
I just, how, why? Interesting, when we had Pronger on last week, and he talked about being drafted by the Hartford Whalers. It was a great time. I think he was very proud of being drafted by the Whalers as a franchise because they don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
It was a great jersey. Great colors.
Cool. That's so cool. And thinking about that I see that logo that Sillinger's talking about with the Canucks, and you go back and you think about Lindenby, you think about Pavel Bure and Marcus Naslund and those guys, and it's a good time for Vancouver, good time in their history, and that's a great logo.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Scotty Clark's watching in Grand Prairie, Alberta. He says, the Coyotes' original Art Deco uni was awful. Worst ever. I agree, Scotty. And I'm a Coyotes fan. They're my third favorite team. Those jerseys just, Memphis Mad Dogs from John. Where's my gong? Oh, here it is. John watching in Winnipeg. Memphis Mad Dogs. Those CFL American jerseys actually were pretty sexy. Here's the, I'm going to read this full story. It appears at rodpeterson.com right now. CFL Commissioner Randy Ambrosi says the complexity of the situation has made it difficult for the league to formulate a plan to deal with COVID-19. Ambrosi spoke today before an Ontario Standing Committee on Finance and Economic Affairs. Now, you read that story on 3Down, and you're like, where's the news in this?
Yeah.
What I got out of that was he stood before the Ontario government and said, we don't have a plan because this thing's moving too much, which I think is fair.
Yeah.
Don't you? I mean, we can't give you a plan today, guys, because we don't know where this is going. After that, the CFL issued this statement from the commissioner. I don't know if I'll read it all, but I'll try. We are in this together, all of us who love and support and are part of the Canadian Football League, and that is why I want to share a short update with everyone today. Like so many businesses, we have been hit hard by the COVID-19 pandemic. We have been forced to postpone our season. We continue to assess whether we can still play a shortened season in 2020 against two criteria, whether we can do it safely and whether it is financially viable. We love our game. We want to see it back on the field. We know the situation is tough on our fans, sponsors, employees, and especially tough on our players. Some have received off-season bonuses, but many have gone without pay since last season. We know that's enormously difficult for them, their families, and we've been working on ways to help. One example is our ongoing work with the CFL Players Association asking the federal government to change the criteria for its wage subsidy program so that our players are fully eligible. Together with the CFLPA, we've written to government explaining the circumstances and asking for the changes. We know government is managing a crisis across the entire country, but are optimistic they will find an opportunity to act on our submission and help assist the players that COVID-19 has prevented from going to work. Shall I continue? Because there's much more.
Yeah.
Like, there's a much, much more. Okay, Clark says the biggest part is the ticket at the bottom. Where it comes... Our fans make the game possible, and they too have sacrificed. The vast majority of CFL season ticket holders have chosen to leave their deposits with our clubs, providing us with much-needed operating capital. We can't thank them enough. The enthusiasm and support of Canadians from coast to coast inspires us every day and at no time more than during the COVID-19 crisis. Is that the one you're talking about, Clark? So, but there's more. I was picking up a booster juice yesterday, and right beside booster juice is the Rider store. It's been closed, shuttered for months. So, I mean, helping out now, it's not just going to be digging in your pocket. You can buy merchandise. I mean, now if you bought tickets, it would literally be a donation. Fans, I think, want a two-way street. Give me something out of it. Mm-hmm. What did I say earlier? Fans incentivize them.
You have to.
So they're going to have to get creative. Chris Ellis writes in. Oh, that's a dumb comment. I'm not reading it. Next hour, Phil Pritchard, the keeper of the cup, and Rich Sutter, 13-year NHL veteran, now pro scout of the Columbus Blue Jackets. So I just feel like we got a lot of stuff to get to today.
Tons.
We'll update the poll results. Check the Prairie Mobile text line. Lots to get to. It's the RP Show, episode 258. Canada's Morning Sports Talk Show continues after this on Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Hey, Rod Squad, now you can join the team with your very own RP Show gear. Head to rodpetersonshop.com and get yours today while supplies last. It's just like we wear on the show, official RP Show gear at rodpetersonshop.com.
You need to adapt and you need to move forward. You can't be stuck in 1920. Direct West is on the top of their game. They know what they're doing, how they're doing it, and when you work with Direct West, things are good. There's no going backwards, they're moving forward. My business would not be where it is today without the help of Direct West to help me with my website and my Facebook and all my online presence. I've worked with Direct West for about 10 years and it's been a great experience.
Celebrate the 5th anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming. The Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.